Leon is from the Tennessee Valley here, and he wants to share some good news with you. He had some his experience in the military, brought him pretty low, and but he found deliverance in Jesus. Praise be to God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, whence come wars and whence comes fightings among you? They come that out hence even of your pleasures at war in your members. You lust and you have not, and you kill and you covet and you can't obtain. You fight in war and you have not because you ask not. Real simple. The faith-filled life is real simple. And it's so joyful. And we're so thankful for what the Lord has done for Leon. We hope that there's some other people out there, maybe some old soldiers out there, that will learn something here, that Jesus is the answer. You know, the world, you know, they love to kill and make war, and they actually have to train people to be murderers, and they have to train them to dehumanize their enemies, no matter which enemy. It might even be in your own country, or it might be next door, or it might be the country over there, but no matter who the enemy is, they always want to dehumanize that enemy so that you don't mind killing them, right? But, you know, murder is murder, and even Christians justify killing other people from other nations, you know. We're one nation, according to Peter, one holy nation, we who belong to God, and we can't get into the things of this world. We have to do what Jesus said and love one another and turn the other cheek and resist not him that's evil and do good to them to despitefully use you and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the training of the Lord. He never gave us permission to go to war, and it does great destruction to a person's psyche. Right, Leon?
Amen. I'm living proof of that.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and share with us, brother. We appreciate you coming very much. God bless you.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to be a voice for many other soldiers out there. We're soldiers, and I don't care what branch of army or service, what branch of service you were in, male or female, or what country you're in. There's still some obligations that they of us to perform, as you were saying, Dave. I just want to lift this up in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be your voice. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work through me. It only comes out of me what's needed for my brothers and sisters and those who need to hear this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, my testimony starts off with back in 1968, being drafted about 6 months out of high school, being 19 years young, and I raised in the Catholic school. I started this way and felt that my obligation was to serve in the service as my father did. He was in the Air Force and during World War II, and he came back home, and he was pretty quiet about it, and I could see why. So after being drafted, I was sent to Fort Knox, Kentucky, into the Army, and I was sworn in there to have a two-year hitch, they call it, and believed that I was serving my country and doing what was right. The brainwash comes before that because, as we know, our duties for our countries that we believe in, that we are doing what's right, is spreading freedom and truth, and most of all, our missionaries going out there. But God is good. He's sovereign, and things will be done according to his will. There's no doubt about it. So as I share this floor mat, I'm trying to set up for a picture that you can see what I was and where I am today because of the grace of God and his purpose for me in his life, and a lot of you other people too out there. I was drafted in, as I was saying, I was in Fort Knox, Kentucky for 6 months, training in armor, recon. I got my orders for Vietnam. I got a two-week leave, And so I got to go home and spend a couple of weeks before I went off to Vietnam. After getting to going through that and getting to Vietnam, I was assigned to a unit, and they kept you already preparing for war, you might say, because they would in the camp that I was assigned to, they would have a lot of similarities going on, some things going on around you to make you ready for, like explosions and things going off all night long. Yeah, and the weapons, by the way, they're just getting you ready to be able to handle a life you never had before. So it was a very different way to adjust, being 19 years old and having to experience these things. I noticed I had to grow up real quick, and not knowing the Lord, but what I was taught in the Catholic school, and didn't really have too much there to depend on, just knowing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that there was a Holy Spirit involved there somewhere, and that I had to just more or less pay attention to what the nun said. I didn't really have any really fellowship with the Lord, or being discipled, I might say. So anyway, once I got assigned to my unit, I had a couple of weeks of that breaking in, you might say. When I got assigned to my unit, they told me to go get a machine gun and to come back. So I went and got a machine gun, and a .45 caliber, so I could have it strapped to my side. So I was going to be a machine gunner. I was sitting there waiting for the rest of the group to come in, and one guy coming at a time. And I asked the guy, well, where's the rest of the guys? He says, well, they didn't make it. So we started off with a skeleton crew of new guys, and some guys have been there for a while. This was my introduction. Very unreal. So anyway, as I got to, and I was in this ground and air reconnaissance, we were working on gun jeeps. And I was M60, so I was on these gun jeeps, and then we patrol through the jungle. And then when they didn't need us, they would throw us on infantry, and they'd push on foot, and then we'd hump around through the jungle. And then through the other times, I was involved with some loaches, which are the small helicopters, which are kind of like your spotter to draw fire. They usually fly treetop level to draw fire. And then what you have is, like they call the red bird, a chopper up in a cloud somewhere that has rockets and automatic grenade launcher and miniguns on the front of it, a gunship. So anyway, there was that, and then plus just dealing with bunker guard when they were needed. So we were air mobile. They could take us and put us in the C-130s and throw us where they needed us to operate. I was operating in South Vietnam. The reason I'm putting all this out is, brothers, or whoever's out there that's been had to deal with any of this, I pray to God is making this time for you. Because what he did for me, he'll do for you. I just have to bring that out. I can feel my heart so strong because I'm evidence. So let me tell you first, all of you, welcome home. Welcome home. I know that means a lot to you because it did to me. So to go back to this, this is kind of what the layout was and what I was expected to do and part of my mission being over there, okay? I'm not going to go in detail because a lot of it, people know they know. And I'm pretty sure a lot of other people have heard war stories or seen movies or whatever that stuff is. I have nothing to do with TVs or radios or any of that stuff. Since I got back from the service, I couldn't. So in my coming back home after I did my duty, well, I want to back up. I had a friend there that was a gunner, too, and his name was Dan Holtry. And it's a big thing to have somebody related to the same state you came from. So Danny, I was from Detroit, Michigan. He was from Flat Rock, Michigan. So that was a big thing. We're about 50 miles apart. So he was a gunner, and he went into flying in loaches and gunning on them. So I tried out a few times to be a gunner on a loach because I was, I don't know, just trying different areas, I guess you might say. Well, anyway, Danny was flying one day and gunning on a loach. It's called a door gunner. And they have a horn that goes off if a chopper's down. His chopper was had caught some rounds, so I heard a siren go off. And it's amazing because everybody just, that's gunners on these ships or machine gunners, they just run to the flight line and jump in these choppers and go out because one of your men are down. So I ran to the flight line and I wanted to get on one of the choppers because I tried out before to be a gunner there, so they took me up and showed me a maneuver so I knew what I was to expect when I was up there. Well, when I got to the flight line, they wouldn't let me go on the chopper because they knew it was my friend Danny. And they said, no, Leon, you can't go. They said, Danny's already got it. They tell you things the way it is, you know what I mean? They already hear over the phone. The gunner's already took the rounds. He's dead. The co-pilot took some rounds, and the ship is on fire. And that's the last words they heard of him. So I was very upset. I was running up and down the flight line. I was mad. I mean, I was super mad. I was cussing. I was saying unreal things. And I felt something come in me. Like never before. I mean, I know I received something, and I felt like I had more power. And so anyway, what had happened is from that moment on, I didn't know till later, but what I had received was a spirit of anger, which went to murder, and to pursue the enemy was my number one cause, and would be like to, you know, justify my search and hunger to get the enemy and pay back for what happened to Danny. So anyway, this grew because there was no way to stop it. And you have to realize, too, shooting a machine gun, it really does push you around a lot. So I didn't take any time. I didn't have no counseling or nothing because no one's going to bother you if you're kind of just overexcited about shooting or, you know what I mean, protecting the other guys because when you're in that kind of spirit takes you over, you have no fear. You have no fear. So I found out that I was really enjoying my work or my missions. I was setting more booby traps. I was setting up more stuff to trying to draw them so I could get them, so I could get them to come my way. So anyway, that was a spirit of murder and stuff that I had. All right, now, I had 6 months to serve after I was done with all this, so I gave all my stuff away and going back home, and had 6 months to serve. Okay, I get back to Chicago, my transfer spot, and I freaked in the airport there. I was lost. It seemed like I had my anger. The Lord shows me now that my anger was so much in me that I had nowhere to release it because, you see, I mean, that spirit was so strong in me, there was nowhere for it to go. So I was turning to people, and I was hating people, and I was hating any slanted-eyed people. I had a grudge against them, and you could see it on me. So anyway, from then on, I had a hard time dealing with Leon, myself. I went to the Red Cross. I went to try to go to meetings. I was getting no release. It messed up my marriage. I separated from my wife, and I found a place down. And I was still working for Detroit Edison, but I found a place that I was happy, and that was actually downtown Detroit, underneath a bar, in like a basement where there were no windows and there's steps led down to this basement, and this guy let me stay there. So that was my new home, and I was happy with this. And for me to deal with the people, I had to drink myself to sleep because of torment, because of murder, because of suicidal thoughts, between hatred. To look in a mirror, I'd want to break it because I didn't want my face to be, I couldn't stand looking in a mirror. I mean, but these things I accepted. I thought, well, this is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to die. So anyway, this was my life. My sister to bring my sister in the picture. Now, this is where I was living. Now, my sister was living in Hawaii, and she found out that I was living downtown in the bar, and living like this. So she offered me to come over to Hawaii to help her. She bought a house that had all fire damage in it, and she said, would you come over here and work on a house? So I went over there, flew there, checked it out, and I said, okay, this is pretty cool because it was 7 acres or 3 acres. It's away from people. It's in the woods. I said, oh, this is good. I can get away from people. Well, I quit my job or put in 2 weeks' notice, and I went over there, and I started working on this place. I still had to maintain my drinking, and I had to drink more and more and more. And then I got into marijuana because between those two, it really knocked me out. So this was my life. And it was getting to where, like you said, no matter, sooner or later, enough is enough, you know. And the suicidal thoughts were getting so intense that I was catching myself almost just pulling off the cliff. And I was fighting myself back and forth with these feelings. So it was getting unreal. So I know this is just, I know that a lot of people out there have it worse than I do or did. But I'm leading up to the way out of all this. And everybody's circumstance is different. And, you know, it, to me, it doesn't have to be combat zones and all this other stuff. And mine happened to be this. There could be people out there that's suffered as much as I have. Out of parent, gone through a divorce. There's so much out there that compares to this. So I'm not a lonely soldier in this. This branches out to a lot of different families and even children today. So this is just a way that God has provided for me to share my testimony, to show you, I don't care what hardship, what spirit you think you got or what spirit you do have or how your life is and you know it's not right, there's a way. There is a way, and it can be done, and it can be done today, tonight. So I'm just sharing with you as we come to that beautiful part that God has provided. Okay, so after living with my sister there for a while, I cried out to the Lord that maybe I needed a woman in my life. Because I destroyed the one back there and my lifestyle and everything else. So I asked him, I cried out one time when I was driving home drunk. And actually, I kind of pulled off the side of the road and passed out. But just before I passed out, I was crying out to the Lord. I said, if you want me to follow you or something, you gotta do something. Give me somebody that's really spiritual or something. And I don't even know why I said these things, to tell you the truth. I knew there's a reason for me to live. But I didn't know why, because I came home with all my pieces. The only thing I ever said is that my heart is messed up and my head is messed up. And I don't know I couldn't get no help. So the next morning I woke up and I drove away and I found myself working for this man that had some homes to be fixed and keep up. So I was working on one of these homes, this one lady was letting the landlord know that there's some branches on this tree kept hitting the side of her house. So he told me to go over there and see what I can do. So anyway, I went over there and I was cutting the branches away from this tree. And here comes this lady that was renting there on the porch. And I explained what I was doing and she just went inside. Well, later on, I was talking to the other lady that's still part of this house in the front. She says, you know, that's a very good Christian lady there. You should get to know her. I said, I don't get to know anybody. So anyway, I just kind of, my tongue was still there. So anyway, somehow the Lord made it to I met this lady, which her name was Roberta. And through us meeting, somehow she said when we started to date, and she said that the Lord showed her something to me. And that's pretty, it had to be a miracle because my mouth was pretty filthy. And I didn't realize it was so filthy, but she reminded me it was. But anyway, she still overlooked that. But anyway, she took me, she introduced me to their church, which was the First Assembly of God there in Maui, Maui, Hawaii. So I went in the church there with her, and I looked around, and I said, well, where's the altar? Where's the altar at? And she says, no, there's just a cross up there. We don't have an altar here. I said, oh, okay. Something's kooky here, so. Anyway, I kept dating her and stuff, and what they had is they had a program going on there. It was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And she was in the choir there, and actually she was an angel in this program. And what they would do is they would have skits going and different people in their lives, and some would accept the Lord and some wouldn't, and it would show that what the circumstance was on why they did or why they didn't, and some would go to heaven, some would go to hell. So as I was watching these skits and this program go on, there was something stirring up in me, and I saw myself in a couple of these people. And I thought, wow, could that be me? And the Lord was really working on me. Well, before this program started, they were praying for some of the people that had friends out in the audience. And some of her friends said, well, do you have anybody? And she says, yeah, my boyfriend's out there, and he's not saved. So they all prayed for me. And I'll tell you, I was standing out there, and then I was still focusing on the program, and it was over with, and they kind of were praying, and they give an altar call, and I found my hand up in the air. And they told her that, hey, look, he's raised his hand. So she ran around and came around me, and I was just standing there with my hand up and didn't know what to do. And she said, you got to go forward, Leon. So she went with me up there forward, and I accepted the Lord. So I was still kind of getting through what I just saw and then realizing what was going on. And I felt the change in me, but not like maybe some other people do. So anyway, that started my breakthrough. That started me to at least want to think I was going to church, but didn't know why I was going to church. And still I had to have a breakthrough through there, okay? So as this was going on, my wife and I were going to church together. And every time I wanted to go to church, I would be getting sick. And it would happen every Sunday before I went to go to church. And I said, well, this is getting to be kind of ridiculous. I'm not even sick. How come I'm getting sick? So I said, enough of this. I'm going to go to church. So she would carry a towel for my head and bucket if I needed it, because I get sick every time before I go to church. So then I got baptized. She said, well, you better get baptized. So after I got baptized, I didn't have this no more. I had a breakthrough. And then I noticed my life starting to change a little bit. There was like a tug of war in my head, back and forth, back and forth. So I still had this drinking problem that had to go. So the church there was having a fast for 3 weeks. So I was getting in a fighting mood to try and fight this thing and do it, learn God's way to do it, not man's way. So I found myself fasting with her, and I remember writing on a piece of paper, no more drinking. I was going to give it to the Lord. But I asked for his help. I admitted I couldn't do it, but I asked for his help. But I wrote it down, and for something it meant special to me to write this down. So I wrote it down, and I pinned it up on the board. And after this day, no more. So I fasted, and I fasted, and Lord, behold, I got a breakthrough, and the Lord was showing me to grab a 7-Up and focus on how that tasted and how good that tasted. So every time I thought of beer or an alcohol or anything, I would focus on the 7-Up, and I would enjoy that and focus, boy, this is good, this is good, and thank you, Lord, for setting me free and stuff. So anyway, this brought me towards, to this day, not one drop of beer. or any alcohol or any kind of drugs or nothing. And that was, I think it was back in 1999. So the Lord has set me free from that, and they used me to help other people to guide them through any kind of word or testimony to help them overcome whatever they might have. So I'm just sharing that part to bring up as I'm going through this, God is preparing me for my inner healing or deliverance, you might say. Some people don't like that word too much. So when I was going through this deliverance program, I noticed there were some of these, they went inner healing. So what had happened is we have, my wife and I had to move to the Big Island, which is maybe about 50 miles the next island over. We went from Maui to the Big Island, but it was just before the year 2000. And I had some property over there that I bought off my sister. I worked about 3 years to pay for it. And I was asking Roberta, well, what do you think? She said, well, I'd rather be, if 2000 is what they say it is, I'd rather be on some place that can't kick us off. So we said, okay, we'll try and make it over there. Well, the same thing, the government had tried to help me go through this post-mental disorder that they write me off and said, here, I went through all the lawyers, all the doctors, and all the testing and all the stuff they do to you. I don't know. I just told them, I was honest with them and just told them how I am and how I feel and what I'm trying to do and everything. And they told me you better park it because and I had to go to anger management class and get certified or get my diploma. And they showed that I was, I guess, worthy to be on the street, you might say, the way they made you feel, you know. So anyway, going through all that and still fighting the truth because I said, well, that's not God's way. And so anyway, we went over there because they told me they could give me more help on the Big Island than I could get over there because they have a clinic there and they can do me some stronger testing and stuff like that. So I wasn't going to go without my wife, so I said, well, we both got to go. So we both went over there, and I still had these dreams and visions, and she was working with me, trying to be around me because she was suffering too. Actually, one time we went into one church for some prayer, and I went up for prayer, and the guy started to pray for me, and he called two guys up, and he says, I want you two guys to stay alongside of him and be ready to grab him. And my wife was standing up in the back. And they were praying. Oh, no, that was a different time. I'm sorry. As they were praying, as he was praying for me, I don't know what happened, but all I remember is two guys grabbing me and holding me, and I was shaking all over the place. So he prayed me for a little while, and I don't know if I ended on the floor or whatever happened, but he said that I know a place you can go that they can help you get take care of this thing. So evidently there was a place there on the island that there was James Stanton and his wife, I think it was James and Kim Stanton, were there doing deliverance. So my wife and I drove over there, and I was going through these sessions of deliverance, and it was quite remarkable because it wasn't just Vietnam. It took me all the way back to the time my dad was treating me as a child that I had hatred. I was mad at my dad for the way I was treated when I was younger. So it's amazing when you call out to Jesus to expose things in your heart that weren't right or unforgiveness, I went all the way back to my dad and didn't realize that I had to forgive my dad for the way he treated me when I was young. And besides Vietnam, see, it went all the way back to my childhood. Because when I was growing up as a child, I had a twin brother. And my twin brother and I were not the same. I was skinnier. I was slower. I flunked 1 year in school. So my dad took me to a psychiatrist and said, well, and he pointed to my finger. He said, what's wrong with him? I mean, there's nothing wrong with my other brother. He's smart, but him, there's something wrong with him. So I always had this finger pointing at me like there's something wrong with Leon. There's something wrong with Leon. So anyway, I forgave my dad for that because he didn't know, and he loved me. I know he did. So there was part of that I had to forgive, and I felt that forgiveness, and I felt a love for my dad, and I ended up praying for him and other people's dads, too, that might be in the same, and other people, too, that might have the same unforgiveness. So anyway, that's just a part to show a part of this deliverance I was going through. And I remember the guy saying, too, he said, some of the hardest guys to help get through this is some Vietnam veterans because of the trauma and all the spiritual warfare that was going over against us. Because I didn't know all this stuff. He was talking about priests and everything over there that was actually doing witchcraft and stuff against the American soldiers over there. So anyway, this is part of my deliverance that God had arranged for me to come through. And it was step by step, and it was one other time that I went for a session there, my wife was standing, that time she was standing behind me, and when I went up there for prayer, this lady pastor was praying for me, and the people were watching me, and they said I had dropped, you know, like a snake or something, when it doesn't have a backbone, it just kind of just, I just dropped straight down by my back. And he says it was weird because they'd never seen anybody fall like that. So whatever she had called out of me or pulled out of me, I had dropped right to the floor. Well, the same thing happened to my wife. Her left leg gave out and she dropped to the floor. So I was getting kind of worried that my wife was starting to catch some of the stuff I did because we were married. So after that, she seemed to be all right, but it's scary how this thing can take off, and you don't know how far it gets. So anyway, that's just the process of me crying out to the Lord and Him working in my life and taking me through these deliverances. Now, as I was going through the deliverance, I used to see, they would stop and say, okay, Leon, how do you see yourself? Okay, and I'd look. I'd get a vision, and the Lord would show me, okay, I saw me with a machine gun in a uniform. Okay, after calling out some other spirits and stuff that I confess or they see manifest in me, a murder, hatred, all kinds of, my gosh, some of the words I didn't even understand what they were saying. I could feel some peace in me, and then I would see me standing there without the machine gun. And then eventually, I would see me standing further back out of uniform. And then later, I see me just gone. So these are phases of my deliverance that I went through to bring me to where I had some freedom to sleep, to rest. But I still had to make sure I kept the door shut. I had to protect myself to making sure every thought that would come into my mind, I had to grab it. I had to use the Word of God. I had to do my part to make sure I kept the door closed to where it had come to be like a thought against a thought. Because I knew in my heart, in my spirit, that I was overcome by that. And I said, no. And it didn't go no further than that. Then it come to a point that it was already gone. It did, and now it doesn't even bother me anymore. I don't even get any torment. I don't get any of those hits. I'm learning to have so much of the Word in me, and so now I'm on the offensive side of it, not the defensive. And it's true about getting up and starting your day with the Word, read something, meditate out for a little bit, and ask the Lord to bring it with you all day long. So this is part of my part of God getting a hold of me and making a way that I could be used for Him. And I have to share, one time I was over in Vietnam And I was sitting in a foxhole, and I was remember just sitting in there, and there was a firefight going on in the distance, and I had all my perimeter set up with all the booby traps, and I'm sitting in a foxhole, and I looked up to the stars because they're very plentiful there, and I was on the guard, and I told God, I said, God, you know, I give you back my spirit because I know it's death of you. And I told him, I don't know what's going to happen to this body. As far as I know, it goes in the ground, and I'm done with. But I know my spirit goes back to you, God. And I told him that I'll do my best to hang on and fight for this body so my spirit goes back to him. See, this is my thinking back then. Because there were so many guys getting wasted. I had a letter that I wrote up, my last letter, that would go home with my body bag. And I felt comfortable with this because I knew sooner or later it was going to happen because I figured this is it, you know. So I figured, okay, I better at least make things right with God. And I didn't even know what I just said what was from my heart and the little bit I knew of anything. But I heard a voice said, no, I have something special for you. I was like, no, that is something else. I thought, nah, no way. I don't know what that's all about. So I just blew that off. I stayed focused on the rest of my tour there. But now, today, up to today, I see what the Lord was talking about. I see what he's talking about. Going through all this and being hungry for God now and to learn more about Jesus and to be all I can be for God. And in my time here on earth, it's got to be all I can be for God and to pray for him to change me, to pray for him to give me a new heart, which he did. I pray for Vietnamese. I pray for Hawaiians. I pray for all kinds of people. And he puts in my heart. And then he took me to the next step of praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, and showing me things, and showing me faces, and praying for them. And praying for them until he don't show me that face anymore and he shows me something else. I was told that every time I see something from China, pray for China. Intercede for China. I have people over here, you know. I said, okay, Lord. Well, I will. So I've been led to be praying for a lot of people, a lot of situations, interceding for people. The Lord puts on my heart. People, sometimes I'm driving by, I say, pray for that person. Okay, Lord. And I pray for them, and then after a while, praying in tongues, because I don't know what to pray all the time. Sometimes he gives me words. Sometimes he shows me something about them. Sometimes it's just praying in the spirit. So I'm sharing all these things to show you me, the old Leon, and the new Leon, the born-again Leon, the real one, that has a hunger for the Lord. As a hunger for truth. And my friends out there, I pray that God will do the same thing for you he did for me. And you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be hearing this if you weren't supposed to. Wherever you are. My friends, my dear friends, look around you. It's so obvious. It's so obvious what's going on in this world. It's so real. And God's making it more and more real to prove who he is and to prove there is a way of peace in your heart, of somewhere you know where you're going to go after this is all over. And not just that. As we overcome, as we come to the closer to the Lord, there is no fear. There's joy because that spirit that's in the world moving all around has no touch on it. You have a protection. Read Psalms 91. It tells you about it. It's for real. It moves in our lives. My wife and I, we have a joy. The word, we're asking the Lord for more of him every time so we can be ready for the times we're in, wherever we got to go, wherever we got to do. And I thank God for this opportunity to be able to share what God has done in my life and what he can do in your life. And, you know, like I shared with some people, don't take my word for it. Get yourself somewhere alone and just ask Jesus. Just ask him to come in your life. Show you. Just ask him. Let him show you. Let him prove himself to you. It ain't man that does it. It's him. You'll find a hunger for the word. He will show you, guaranteed. These are the times that he spoke of in the Bible. We're in the back of the Bible. Everything's true. What's happening? You can compare the Bible with the newspapers and the TV. It's for real. But you know what's most important to me? Is that whatever God created me for, I want to accomplish that here while I can. Eternity is for eternity. How much longer do we have to be here anyway? Whatever it is. Don't you want to know that eternity holds something for you that you've done to prove yourself worthy, Father, to be one of his children, as his word says? They have his covenant of blessings. They have his covenant of protection. It's all available. It's all available. In one step, all you do is ask. And the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. It's so simple. It's so simple. You don't have to trust a man. You just trust in God's word, and he'll reveal himself to you. So, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters out there, not just veterans, Father, that I say welcome home to anybody. Any spirit that's been brainwashing them or taking them over or any uncomfortable. If you don't have joy in your heart, if you don't know what tomorrow is, or no guarantee of nothing, I pray, Father, that you work on their heart right now because they're listening, because you have assigned this time, Father. I pray, Father God, that those walls be broken down, Father, in time for that light of truth be in them right now, to manifest right now. I pray, Father God, for their souls, Lord, for their souls right now, Father, that would just take the time. And I pray for the others, Father, they have loved ones too, Father, to intercede for them, to give them the boldness in prayer and to pray in the Spirit and to focus on their loved ones, Father. For you are faithful, Father God. You've done it for me. You'll do it for them. I have brothers and sisters, too, of being saved, too. I know it because I'm interceding for them, and I know it's going to be done because Jesus said he wouldn't lose one. And believe me, if they're here on this earth, they got a chance. If they're living, they got a chance. So it's up to us to use the power of prayer we have to make a difference for others. So I thank Father God for this time. I thank Father for my helpmate, Roberta, that's my wife, that I prayed for and I received. That's a godly woman, and it's after my God's heart too. And I pray for the marriages out there, Father. I pray for all the marriages, Father God, and I pray a blessing on them. And I pray, Father God, the only thing that comes between the husband and wife is Jesus Christ. And, Father, for the lost ones, the ones that separate, Father, I call them back. I call them back in Jesus' name, Father. Don't give up. And help me, Father, not to give up. In Jesus' name, shalom.
Amen. Thank you so much, Leon. That was a great testimony, and I'm sure it touched some people out there that came home from war and have had trouble shaking those things. It's a spiritual warfare, folks. You're not dealing with flesh and blood here. It's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And deliverance was necessary. Jesus accomplished this for you. He accomplished this for you at the cross. He bore this curse upon himself, Galatians 3:13, so that you might be blessed. That's what he says. And by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's the gospel. The Lord already did this for you, and you can accept this gift. And just believe, and if you prayed with Leon, just believe and trust that God has done this for you. Because he has. He did it at the cross. It's already accomplished.
Yes,
you can reach out and accept this gift of freedom from God. These demons don't have any more right over you because of what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus made reconciliation. He made an exchange. He took your life and he nailed it on that cross. And he took his life and he gave it to you as a free gift, the life of Jesus. And when you get baptized, you're reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So you accept this free gift from God right now. You accept it in Jesus' name. Just, you know, the Bible says, believe with your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So you just, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask and pray for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Now that sounds crazy, but it is just the fact, and that's just how big the gospel is. It covers everything of this curse on this world. It covers it all. Jesus gave you his life. He
Amen.
Took away your old life, and he nailed it on that cross, and he gave you his life. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. That was a confession of his faith that was powerful. It's a good confession that we give in the front of many witnesses. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you for blessing all the brethren that are joining us today. We thank you for blessing any men out there that are still in this bondage and hurt and pain. And we just bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your gospel will sink into their hearts and help them to understand that Jesus Christ already took care of this. They don't have to worry about it anymore. They can just trust in him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a mighty miracle. We break the power of these demons over our brethren out there in Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So if you you want more of Jesus, you just get into that word and you read it and let it sink into your heart, and it will just drive out those demons, and then it'll, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Our problem is our computer's all messed up. It's got a virus in it. And we need to throw that out and put some good stuff in there. So, right, Leon?
Amen. And, you know, I'd like to add, too, Dave, that, you know, those times, and that's how I went through that deliverance and inner healing. But the Lord has shown me that the authority and power that he's putting out in these last days, you're not going to have to use. And I always believe, too, that you're not going to have to use the techniques that they did to go through this, because they write down a piece of paper and they ask you, okay, how was your childhood? How did you go through this? I mean, they got to go through a whole review. But I was praying to the Lord. I said, I know there's a better way, because when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, they went back there and they did the work and came back and it was done. There was no program they had to go through. So I believe what I was shown is, they had authority, and they were living the authority. They were living it with the faith and everything. And those days are here too. So it's not to where you got to go through all these meetings and all this process and everything. No. God has raised up an army of people that's going to be used for his glory, and there ain't going to be enough of this. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be quick. Because God promised he'd be pouring out his spirit, and I believe in my heart that's what's happening. He's pouring out his spirit, and people are going to be able to use for his glory. And it's not a long process, because there's too much happening too quick, and God needs his people to be helping people, to be helping people, to be helping people.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. And you folks out there, since Jesus died and made reconciliation, that is his, the exchange. Since he did that, you've had the authority through faith in the gospel, the good news that Jesus set you free. You've had the authority to say no to the devil. And he's trying to talk you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. So you know what? You've got it. You just need to believe it. It was given to you by Jesus Christ, and he made this exchange for you. Your faith in what he did at the cross gives you authority over the devil, and the devil's trying to talk you out of it. You may have had this for a long time, and you may think, well, there's just no hope for me, you know, but that's just not the truth. The truth is the faith in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. That's what the book says. You can go all of your life and never believe the gospel, and you'll never find salvation in anything man does. You know, like, you know, all the counseling in the world won't deliver you from demons. It has to be repentance and faith.
Amen.
Repentance means change your mind. Believe what the Bible says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repentance and faith. Faith in what? Faith that Jesus took your curse upon himself on that cross, and you don't have it anymore. Now you can thank and praise God that this is the truth. And that truth will set you free. That's what Jesus said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is nothing else on this earth that will set you free. The curse is upon everyone in this world. Yeah, it's a little different from one person to the next, but it's still there. And you can't do anything with it. You got no authority over it, except you believe the gospel. Then you got authority over it. And the devil will try to talk you out of this any way he can, because he don't want to see victories in this earth. Because every time you get a victory, you tell someone else and they get a victory, because they begin to believe the same gospel. So you just give thanks unto God for your freedom. And it doesn't have to be from post-war trauma of any kind. It can be anything. It doesn't make any difference. There is no curse upon you because Jesus Christ bore it upon himself. Right, read Deuteronomy 28. He tells you all about the curse. And then read Galatians 3 and 13. He tells you all about what he did with that curse. He put it upon Jesus on that cross, and he set you free. Now you got to believe it. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to thank you so much, too, Leon, for coming and sharing that with the folks. We know it's going to be a real blessing to a lot of people. Thank you so much, brother. Hallelujah.